You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ben Standing here, excited to be talking to you guys. It's Sunday night. I'm not going to lie, I still have not totally recovered from the Vegas trip, and which isn't a, don't assume it was that type of Vegas trip. It really wasn't. It was a working trip for the most part. Just, I never caught up with my sleep out there. I kept waking up too early on East Coast time, and since I've been back, it's not like it's been overly hectic. I just have not been on a good sleep pattern. So hoping, the goal is, as soon as I'm done this podcast, go to bed, get up early, kick some butt this week. Got a lot to do. So we'll see what happens. But on this here podcast, the good thing is that I'm tired is not that relevant because I recorded a podcast out in Las Vegas with a friend of the podcast, Jeff Zilgit, NBA insider for USA Today. You know, I see Jeff a lot. He's always, because he's based here in the DC area, he's always at Wizards games, so sort of ironic to be talking to him out there. But you know, we were hanging out, I don't remember what game it was, we were hanging out sort of at the inside the Thomas and Mack Arena, at the behind one of the baskets. It's kind of where everybody hangs out, various reporters and players who are playing, players, NBA players already who are watching, executives, so on. So it's sort of the place to be, and we were all hanging out there at one point, and just kind of worked out that he and I were had a moment. I'm like, hey, you want to talk? He said, sure. So that's what we did. Probably goes about 17 minutes or so, I think, is what I saw. And you know, got his take on the off season. We talked about, you know, where the Wizards fall in the East these days, and you know, always an interesting conversation with Jeff. He certainly knows his stuff in the NBA as well as anybody does out there. So I will play that for you in just one second. As I mentioned the other day, I also have a bunch of other podcasts already banked, including Drew Hanlon, you know, coach for, or sorry, I guess I should say trainer, I mean, for Bradley Beal, Kelly Oubre, and a whole bunch of other NBA notables, Jason Tatum, Andrew Wiggins, and others. Who else did I talk to? Ike Diago, a member of the Wizards Summer League team. I guess I should say, since we spoke last here, the Wizards played two more games. They lost them both. They finished Summer League 0-5. Shrugs, I guess. If I could put up a shrugs emoji in the podcast, I guess that's where I'd be in terms of the record itself. I have not had a chance to go back and watch the last game, which is on my TiVo. I don't know if I will. We'll see. Maybe I'll watch for a little bit just to get a look at Mack and Oshefu and McCullough. Everything else, I don't, you know, I mean, Devin Robinson, I don't remember if that's been, I don't think that was mentioned last time I did a podcast, but the Wizards added him as their second two-way player to go with Mike Young. You know, totally expected, I think. He, in fact, I would have bet Robinson was more likely to get the two-way contract when they announced that both guys were coming with them to Vegas. You know what, I mean, look, Devin Robinson, he's an interesting athlete for sure, all arms and legs, can jump out of the gym, but super raw with his game, you know, and it kind of reminds me of Chris McCullough, who's already on the roster and presumably will be since he's, you know, got $1 million and then some coming to him this year. So, you know, with Robinson and Young, I don't think it really makes that much of a difference for this year. Probably doesn't make any difference for this year. Even if the Wizards had some injuries, it's hard seeing how those two guys are going to be viewed as any kind of help outside of, like, if you get to, you know, some really crazy situation where you literally need a body. But, you know, I doubt either one of them makes a difference this year, so we'll see what happens down the line. Of course, no G League team. So I don't know where the Wizards are going to send these guys. They're going to send them somewhere, and that other team will sort of be in charge of helping them learn the ropes, I guess, and teaching them. And I'm sure they'll be, you know, the Wizards will be involved. Of course, it's not just go out into the world, kid, and good luck. But, you know, it's not your G League team. The other team's got their own priorities, their own coaches, their own, just simply their own way of doing things. So it is what it is. We'll talk more about the G League situation, I'm sure, down the line. And who else do I have to talk to? Ike Diagu, if I didn't already just say that. Him, Joel Myers, voice of the New Orleans Pelicans, talked with him about Tim Frazier, that's where Tim was last year, and also talked about Boogie Cousins. And also, I guess I should say, just today, I recorded a podcast with John Corrales, one of the hosts of the Locked On Celtics podcast. We talked because I wrote something for FanRag Sports based on conversations that I had in Vegas, including part of this conversation I had with Jeff Zilgit about the idea of, I wasn't just asking people where the Wizards fall in the East, but I was, part of the conversation also was, well, where are the Celtics now? How have they pulled away from the Wizards, Toronto, and so on? And so he saw that article, so he wanted to come on and have me talk about it, so we did. So I'll play that for you guys at some point over the next few days as well. Oh, and let me not forget, also on Friday, I hosted a new podcast at Parkway with friend of the podcast, Patrick Ruby. That will be up as well. So I've already got a bunch in the bank, so it's kind of a good time to be tired, if that makes sense, because we've got a lot going on to get to. So let's not dawdle anymore here. Jeff Zilgit, at Jeff Zilgit on Twitter, Zillgitt. Good podcast. I guess I'm going to dawdle for one more second because I need to mention that apparently it was the Locked On Sports Podcast Network had a very good run during the first week of the NBA free agency, according to David Locke. Told us all that apparently it was a very good week across the board. I noticed the numbers were up a bit for us as well here on Locked On Wizards. So many thanks to that. Obviously, there's a bit of interest as we're dealing with free agency and what the Wizards are going to do. So I appreciate you guys being engaged and being part of being part of the conversation, whether you're just listening to me talk or those of you who hit me up on Twitter at Ben Standig or at Locked On Wizards. In any event, if you're interested in the overall NBA, check out the entire options available to you on the Locked On Sports Network.
Yo, everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like Geico is more than just a company that can save you money. Geico also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Yo!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
All right. Without further ado, let's get into it. Here is my conversation with Jeff Zilgit, NBA insider from USA Today.
All right, I'm here in the underbelly of the Thomas and Mack Center with a guy who I see all the time in D.C., but we're back here in Vegas now talking, Mr. Jeff Zilgit. Jeff, great with USA Today, of course. You guys already knew that. Jeff, great to see you. You've been out here for a few days. I think you've actually been out here longer than me now. What's so far? We'll get to the Wizards in a second, but what's so far been the highlight for you of the 2017 Summer League?
Well, I tell you what, I enjoy seeing the rookies, and the ones that we're going to see develop into, we think, the future All-Stars. I have enjoyed, he had a dud in his first game, but I have enjoyed the pomp and circumstance around Lonzo Ball. They packed Thomas and Mack Center, which that, you know, you don't often see here. If you haven't been to Vegas, the upper bowl was had people in it, and that rarely happens.
It's crazy.
Yeah, you had a resale market out in front of the arena. Usually you can just walk up to a ticket window. I've enjoyed watching Josh Jackson play. Another one to keep an eye on that I've enjoyed is Justin Jackson, who played in North Carolina. He's been fun. DeAndre Bembry, who is a second round or late first round in 2016, is having a nice summer league for Atlanta. So I'm looking at those kinds of guys as well, who might be able to provide that kind of bench value at the 8th, 9th, 10th spot that teams crave, and you see a lot of that at summer league.
Yeah, one guy you didn't mention was Jason Tatum with Boston, number 3 pick, and he's had a...
Thanks for that.
Yeah, no, he's had a very good run so far, and it's interesting, obviously, from where we look at it, sort of the Eastern Conference races. You know, last year Boston had the number 3 pick in Jaylen Brown, and he contributed a little bit, but, you know, up and down, sort of typical rookie. Tatum, whatever summer league means, he's looked pretty good, maybe a cut above. What do you think that a guy like that can do for a team like Boston, who's, you know, obviously trying to compete for the East title?
Well, look, you can look good in summer league, and that's the good thing. You know, you don't want to look bad all of summer league if you're that kind of draft pick or anything. And so Jason Tatum's going to be able to do a lot of things for them eventually. Like every rookie coming to the league, I think his shot needs to improve, especially if he wants to step out to that three-point line at the NBA. But he works hard. He's going to be a guy who grabs your rebounds, which is something. Like, he's a rebounding wing. I see him go to the bucket to get those boards. He's going to be able to drive to the bucket as well. If you sort of look at the hierarchy, though, when you start tick-tocking down that Celtics roster, you know, I thought Jaylen Brown in the conference finals at the end was probably one of Boston's best players on the floor in terms of defensive effort and willing to compete. So Jason Tatum has a little ways to go when you look at that roster to be able to get some playing time. But as you see, the Celtics are making some moves. They may not be done making moves. And if that's the case, there's, you know, you invest in that kind of pick, even if you're a playoff team, which is rare,
right,
to have that kind of pick. Thank you, Brooklyn Nets, for doing that. You know, he's going to have a chance to contribute some minutes. You know, how much better he makes them, I'm not sure about that. I think it's going to be the other guys we saw a season. The Isaiah Thomas, Marcus Smart's going to have to step into a role now without Avery Bradley. And then Gordon Hayward, you know, Al Horford. That's who you're going to look at. But then there's slots below that where Jason Tatum should be able to step in and contribute.
And so, obviously, when everybody's talking about Boston, they're saying, hey, can they catch LeBron? Now, obviously, for my purposes, the question is, where are they with relation to the Wizards? Last year, these two teams played 11 times. The home team won every game. You can't get more even that, even though Boston did win the important last game 7 to advance in the conference finals. On the one hand, they add Hayward, they add Tatum, they just signed Aaron Baines, a big man who can get some rebounds, but they also traded away Avery Bradley, Kelly Olynyk, Amir Johnson, and some other guys left in free agency. So they had some pluses and minuses, some good pluses, but some minuses also. Whereas the Wizards, they added some smaller guys off the bench, and I'll ask you what your thoughts on them, but they've largely bringing back their same core. Have the Celtics pulled far enough away from the Wizards that that's not really a thing anymore, or do you think even with, you know, the plus and minus of the Boston, the Wizards are still kind of right there? Because I kind of think they might be, but we'll see it soon.
Well, no, I agree with you on that, Ben. It's going to take the season and those games, but in general, I'm with you on that. I don't think that they, you know, the addition of Hayward is nice, but the subtraction of those other players takes away some of that depth that made Boston so good. You look at it this way, you heard, and I don't remember Scott Brooks during this as much, but you may recall a little bit better than I. The one thing that Ty Lue of the Cavs said during the playoffs that made Boston so difficult to defend is they had so many options. Right now, you can envision what Boston's options are. It's Isaiah Thomas, Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford. The Avery Bradley one is not there. Olynyk could stretch the floor. He had that one big game against Washington,
yes,
right there.
Still can't believe that happened, but anyway.
Amir Johnson, I don't think they've done enough to address the rebounding issue. that was there. And so, again, I think Boston's the better team. And yet, when it comes to playoffs, I'm not talking regular season, because we saw what Cleveland can still do in the playoffs, regardless of what they did in the regular season. But if you want to look and just say, all right, Cleveland's the best team, then after that, I think there's still open spots for Boston, Washington, and Toronto right now. I do think Milwaukee's a wild card.
Sure.
You know, in that. Now, how much better Milwaukee gets to, can they get into the high 40s, low 50s in terms of victories? I'm not quite sure about that jump yet, but I'm willing to let that play out. But back to your original question, I'm not convinced that Boston has separated themselves that much from Washington.
Fair enough. So you get the outside take. People accuse me of being too forced through the trees thing, but that's sort of how I looked at it. At least now, if Tatum and Brown make leaps, then we'll reevaluate. But the Wizards could sort of say the same thing about Kelly Oubre, not to mention guys like Otto Porter, who had a big leap last year. And so, speaking of Otto Porter, the Wizards just matched that offer sheet. A lot of ins, a lot of outs, to sound like the Big Lebowski there with that whole deal. What was your sense of that from the Wizards' perspective? Was there any thought for you that, you know what, maybe it's getting too rich and they should move on?
So I understand that, but what were they going to move on to is the question. That they could not have signed anyone else comparable in this free agency, nor can they do it next free agency. So where are you making an upgrade over the next two seasons on the perimeter? I felt whether or not how much the Wizards wanted to give that to them, I felt they were handcuffed into doing so. And you lose Otto Porter, you are going to struggle on the perimeter from that spot for the next couple seasons. And, you know, I haven't looked at the salary cap for, let's see, 17, 18, 18, 19, 20. I don't know where the Wizards stand. But we were just talking about this offline, Ben. The Wizards are going to have to pay John Wall again at some point. So, you know, their salary is going to be tied up in those three guys. And so they did the right thing. If you're of the notion that with John Wall and Brad Beal, you think you can continue to compete for a spot in the conference finals, and who knows what happens at that point. I don't think they were in a position where they could afford to lose Otto to the Brooklyn Nets as a restricted free agent. Again, I know lots of people look at that and just base it on strict traditional averages and wonder, how can a guy be a max player? I think we've misconstrued the word max over the years as well. You know, he's not making the max that Steph Curry made. In fact, those values are almost half of each other. I know Steph has one more year on the deal and everything, but going back to that point, you know, we used to think a max player was a top 10 player. The way the salary cap has evolved in the CBA, a max player is a guy who can command that amount of money for what he's been able to accomplish, and that's exactly what Otto did. Good for Otto, good for his agents to go that route, and again, I don't think the Wizards were in any position to do anything other than what they did.
That's interesting, because when John Wall got his first extension and then Bradley Beal got his extension last year, people in both cases were like, I don't know if they were worth it. They obviously both, Bradley Beal 1 year in, John Wall way in, have both shown that they're earned it, have worth it, so now we'll see what happens with Otto. You mentioned John. You talk to people all around the league. We just talked to John Wall a minute ago, and he played coy about the idea of waiting to potentially sign the Supermax contract. He said a big decision. He's weighing his options. As you talk to people around the league, what's the sense? Does anybody, what sense do people think of what he's ultimately going to do?
I don't think he's in any rush to do it right now. And whether it's next summer or the summer after, Ben, I think similar kind of money will be there. Whether it's that designated veterans extension that we're sitting here talking about that allows Washington to give him a bigger percentage of their salary cap, I don't know about that. I will say this from the people I have talked to. The Wizards looked at this as a good faith gesture to say, hey, John, we've appreciated everything you've done for this franchise. At the moment it's available, we're going to offer you the max we can at that moment. So to that point, if John says no to this extension, which is well within his right, next summer when the time comes, the Wizards are going to offer a similar extension because they want to continue to show that good faith that this is our guy. And again, we'll see what John does. But here's the other thing, they'll give something John to think about. We all know John has missed games before because of injuries. He was relatively injury free last year and comes up with the, you know, one of his best seasons of his career, has that gets on the all NBA third team, was it?
Yes.
And so him being healthy, but if it's in the back of his head that, hey, I have no idea what my injury history will be in the future, do I grab this money now? And I think that's something to consider, and he should. My feeling is that he won't just yet. Maybe if he was coming off an injury, it'd be a little easier to. But it's one of the, and I don't want to use that phrase "bet on yourself" kind of deal, because John's proven himself and everything. But the idea that he could have another great year. The only thing is, with that designated vets extension, there are so many darn good guards in the league. John Wall could have another great season, just as impressive as it was last season. But because there's so many good guards in the league, he may not be all NBA.
Right.
Again, that's something he may need to consider, because then, you know, the Wizards may not have that same availability to offer him the designated vets extension. And Ben, I can't think of them off the top of my head, every single one. But Klay Thompson did not make, he was not one of the guards on the list. And I think we can run
was
down.
Chris Paul on the list?
Chris Paul was not. DeMar made it. I don't think Kyle Lowry did. And Kyle Lowry, at his age, continues to, like, improve his stats, traditional stats.
And obviously, according to LeVar Ball, Lonzo's a lock.
Well, a lock for the Hall of Fame, even,
right,
Ben.
Right.
And so I look at it, you know, he'll have some decisions to make in that regard. But I see nothing wrong with him waiting one more season and seeing what's available next summer.
Beyond that, important stuff the Wizards added. Tim Frazier, Jody Meeks, Mike Scott so far. I'm going to guess they may be done. Maybe that last roster spot is open to a vet on the vet minimum, but I don't know if they're going to want to go any further into the luxury tax and so on. Any of those three guys mean much to you as a transaction?
Well, look, losing Bogdanovich, they're going to need to compensate for some of that three-point shooting. So is Jody Meeks that guy? Can he? I think sometimes Jody Meeks is getting deals based off of some three-point shooting he did some years ago, and I don't know if we've seen that. But if he can contribute some of that three-point shooting, you know, that makes up for the loss of Bogdanovich a little bit. Mike Scott's interesting. I thought his role a couple years ago when Atlanta went 60-22, I thought he played a really valuable role. A kind of guy who obviously doesn't need the ball in his hands, will work hard on both sides of the court, especially on the defensive end. And in that regard, again, I know we talk about that Wizards bench needing some scoring at times.
Sure.
And I'm not sure he's going to be that guy. But he's going to be a competent guy on the court, and that's how I see that signing right there.
I don't know if you know anything specific about the Scott and Meeks in particular, but the Wizards signed both of them within the first 4 days of free agency. Two guys who I can't believe were very high on. If you look at the overall list of available free agents, whether they're interesting or not, what do you think is this? What does it mean when a team moves that quickly? Is it impatience? Do they think other teams really pushing? Why would a team kind of make those moves?
No, I don't necessarily know if it's impatience. I think it's a combination of the Wizards looking at their salary cap situation, slotting guys into those spots where they think other teams might pay for them, what they can pay for them, and figuring, you know, we're not going to get some of these other shooters on the market. You know, we're not going to get Jamal. Well, maybe they wanted Jamal Crawford and a consideration, but knowing that we might not have the money to give that guy. That was the difference. I know we're backtracking to another team, but that was the difference for Jamal Crawford signing or agreeing to a deal with Minnesota, because they were able to offer him much more money than Cleveland was able to. And that's going to, I mean, he would have been playing for a team that, by and large, we think is going to get to the NBA Finals game, where Minnesota's going to be a better team. They're not going to the NBA Finals next season. And so going back to your point, I think they had those names on their list, slotted into salary positions, and they wanted to lock him up before maybe another team was looking at the same thing. Because as we're seeing, Ben, you make an interesting point, I think, here, is we've seen the money dry up a little bit, or at least the spending has come to a halt
right
now. And so you also look at it from the player's perspective, that they wanted to go out and get that money before they're in a situation right now where no one's offering it.
Last most important question. Any dinner suggestions for while I'm still here in Vegas for the next couple of days?
Well, you know what, Ben? I know people love coming out here. I am an off-strip person. And so I always find that you can find great meals at a fraction of what you're going to pay on the strip and everything. So there's a Spanish tapas place just right down the road, Firefly.
Oh, I passed that last night driving around.
So that's a spot. There's a Japanese grill, Raku. That's a fantastic little spot. There's an old school steak joint called Herbs and Rye, and it looks like you are walking into a Prohibition era saloon and a steakhouse. And with that said, they have a great cocktail menu. There's a great, I go on and on here, I found them all. There's a great Thai place, Lotus of Siam, that's in town. And then there's one that it's interesting, it's called Fat Choi, and it's this Asian inspired place inside of a off strip casino, the Eureka, that's got great food. So you can always find places, Ben, off strip. And even so, if everyone loves their sushi in Vegas, shipped in daily, there's great off strip sushi places as well. So you don't have to go pay. If you want to go pay the big bucks, people can. I try not to.
Look at that. He's not just an NBA insider. He's a Las Vegas food insider. If you have to look at me, I really appreciate it. Of course, you guys all know, follow him on USA Today for all your NBA news. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
No problem, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Always.
Sweet, Ben.
Everybody just Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
Bobby Trotter caught. Bolt drive, off the shot. Dagger!